Welcome to Elevation. As Casey said, my name's Jesse. I'm the creative arts pastor here, and I usually do music and other things like slides and pictures and things like that. But
bylaws.
Today, bylaws, yeah, our bylaws. How are those coming, by the way? Good? Good. No? Not so good. I use my phone to teach off of, and I say that up front before I start teaching because I don't want people to think I'm like texting or, you know, surfing the web, I'm just bored. No, that's not the case. I don't stand still very well. I like to move around. I don't know if it's ADD, call it whatever you want. I just like to move. So standing on a podium doesn't work too hot for me. But I want to talk this morning about something, obviously, as Casey said, near and dear to my heart, but also something that I think is near and dear to everyone's heart because it's how we were created. And the bottom line is we were created to worship. And I'll take a step further and say we were created by God to worship Him. Not all of us do that. There are plenty of other things that we worship in life. But today I want to kind of focus on something even more specific. I want to use two stories and If you got a message, Lift Notes this morning, if you got that, then you'll see the title is Worship Going Ahead of the Battle. And I want to reference two stories today, okay? So there's two battles in the Old Testament that I want to talk about. And we're going to use these to kind of reference our own spiritual battles in life, okay? And I want to show from these two battles the amazing amount of faith and obedience through worship that these people had in some kind of crazy ways. One of the stories I'm pretty sure you'll be very familiar with, and the other one you may have never heard of. So the first one is from Joshua 6. And if you've got a Bible with you today, please turn there. I think that it's important to have the living word be a part of everything we do, first off. But if you've got one, I'll have most of the stuff up on the screen anyway, but if you've got one, this is good stuff. So that's a whole nother message. Joshua 6, all right? I'm going to give you a little bit of backstory, okay? This is Joshua and the Battle of Jericho, right? Everyone's probably heard this story. This is a Sunday school story. It's pretty much, you know, you might have even heard the hymn. I was kind of laughing as I was YouTubing things and just kind of like doing some research, and I came across the old battle hymn. It's funny. It's this, I forget her name, but she sings this whole, like, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. And it's all like, you barely understand what she's saying, but it's just amazing. So, it's like 1940s. Okay, so we're going to talk about the Battle of Jericho, okay? So I'm going to give you a little backstory here, okay? Backstory here. The people of Israel have just entered the Promised Land, okay? The manna that was provided by God 6 days a week for 40 years had just ceased, okay? They had just stopped receiving the manna 6 days a week, okay? And they had just celebrated the first Passover with unleavened bread and grain. And this is important because God was taking care of them for 40 years in the desert with manna, and all they did was grumble the whole time. So this is the first time, this is kind of the setting the stage, okay? This is also a place where the commander of the Lord's army, and the word says, and a lot of scholars believe it was an angel, okay, the commander of the Lord's army tells Joshua, take off his sandals, because the place where he is standing is holy ground, okay? All of this, everything I just explained, is on the plains of Jericho. So it sets the stage of why there's a battle at Jericho, okay? And most of you know that the battle wasn't really spears and swords and fighting, okay? We're going to talk about that in just a second, okay? Jericho was one of the most ancient cities on earth, okay? First mentioned in Numbers 22, the Bible says its walls cannot be scaled. But they only enclosed about 7 acres. That's actually pretty small. I think Brad's house sits on like 7 acres. And most of the inhabitants lived outside in the countryside, okay? So, let's start in Joshua 6, okay? If you open with me, Joshua 6, verses 2 through 5. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. Remember that word all, by the way. We're gonna touch on that in a minute. You shall go all around the city once. Then you shall do that you shall do for 6 days. And the seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. So, a couple things to notice right here. Okay? You all heard this story before, most of you, right? Yes. Okay. It's pretty common, even if you didn't grow up in the church, you've heard of Joshua and Jericho, okay? This is an interesting command that God makes through Joshua, okay? He says, wait, walk, and don't talk. This is a battle, right? They're going into battle. And he says, wait, and then walk, and don't talk. I don't know any battles that we've fought in our world wars have ever been won that way. But he tells them, wait, walk, and don't talk, okay? Now, I want to remember, this is why a big piece of why I gave the backstory, okay? Something to remember here is that these are the same people that grumbled in unbelief and doubt for 40 years, okay, in the desert. Joshua's directive from God to give to them teaches us that when facing great challenges, and taught them too at the time, don't permit your lips to speak unbelieving words, okay? The doubt that resided in their heart, and that unbelief, they had just spent 40 years in the desert when they could have just walked, I think it was like a two-day walk, and they'd have been out of it. That unbelief was sitting there, and so he wanted to test him, okay? It's far better for us to hold our tongue when fear or doubt may come out and keep our hearts inclined to what God can do rather than what we can't, okay? Words can bind up, and they can set free. That's a whole nother sermon for another day, but just remember that, okay? This was a test of their obedience and their faith. And ultimately, it's all worship. Obedience is worship. Faith is a piece of worship, okay? And then the fact that the trumpets and the marching and all of that, we're going to get there in just a second. And I wanted to just kind of have a little short side note. Psalm 37, 34 says this, wait on the Lord, this is David, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I love it. He's not referencing Jericho there. He's actually referencing other battles that have been won in the same instance. But I just love how he synopses that right there. Okay? The other example I want to make here, okay, with Joshua and Jericho, okay, this example also demonstrates the power of worship in the leading of the ark and the trumpets blowing, okay? Now, they were silent for the first 6 days, and on the seventh day, they marched seven times, and they blew their trumpets, right? The shout that came after the trumpets on day seven, that was a shout of praise and declaration, okay? What do you think that sounded like? Like, probably louder than I can imagine. Remember, it said all of the army. Every one of you march around the city, trumpets, and then shout. It probably wasn't like, yay. Pretty sure that wasn't it, okay? But that shout was a shout of praise and a shout of declaration, okay? Both of those huge aspects of worship. Praise being kind of an obvious one that we do also on Sunday mornings, but declaration maybe a little less obvious one, but declaring who God is, declaring his victory in the war, in this battle, in this particular battle, okay? Hebrews 11, 30, this is, and we're uncertain, scholars are uncertain of who the writer of Hebrews is, but this is many hundreds of years later, the writer of Hebrews is talking about the Hall of Fame, is what they call it, and the Faith Hall of Fame And he says, by faith, the walls collapsed. We know that it was by faith, through their praise, through their declaration, through their obedience to what God said, okay? We're going to move on to the second story, all right? Second Chronicles, okay? If you've got your Bible, move to 2 Chronicles 20. This is a couple of books later, not too far, though. I want to give you a little backstory on this one, okay? Backstory here. King David reigned for 40 years once he was made king. All the Goliath stuff, that was when he was a kid. He reigned for 40 years as king. Then his son Solomon took the throne. Solomon constructed the temple where the Ark of the Covenant sat in the most holy place, okay? That's the same ark, by the way, that was carried around Jericho many years before that, okay? Solomon reigned also for 40 years. And then his son, Rehoboam, reigned. Now, Rehoboam is an interesting one. He seeks out some bad counsel from friends that are his peers as opposed to from elders that have been a part of his father's council. And he makes some bad decisions that splits the kingdom of Judah, okay? So this brings us up to where we're at in 2 Chronicles, okay? The fourth king of Judah after that split, okay, is Jehoshaphat, okay? He, although, was an amazing man after God's heart. He set up and redeemed the nation of Judah to be followers and worshipers of God, okay? So in the beginning of 2 Chronicles 20, we see that Judah is about to be attacked. These are the chosen people. Is about to be attacked, as the line of David, okay, by the people of Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir. And in verse 2 it says, a great multitude is coming. Judah was well outnumbered. Scriptures tell us that they don't have the exact numbers, but they were extremely outnumbered and had no chance. There were three nations coming against a split nation, a nation of half, okay? So if you've got your Bibles open, 2 Chronicles 20, okay? And I'm going to touch on a couple of verses in here, okay? Verse 3, okay? Jehoshaphat does three things, okay? Number one, he does a fast. Not just for himself, but he asks the whole kingdom, all of Judah, the whole nation, to fast with him, okay? Verse 3 says, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And if you don't know what a fast is, or if you've heard that word, but it's never been explained or a definition to it, fast is simply this, an outward indication of an inward sincerity towards God. An outward indication. So a lot of people fast from food, fast from soda, fast from TV. There's totally different things. Could be 40 days, could be one day. It's between you and God. But it's an outward indication of an inward sincerity towards God. Okay? Number two thing that Jehoshaphat does is he prays. And that's verses 4 through 13. And I just want to focus on verse 12. Okay? Verse 12 is where he's closing up his prayer. Okay? Verse 12 says, for we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. That sounds pretty common. I feel like I pray like that all the time. Lord, I don't know what's going on. So I'm just going to look to you and pray that you're going to make it all right. And he's like, there's three nations coming against us that want to kill us. Lord, make it right. Okay? Then, this is crazy. Then the Spirit of God falls on Jehaziel, and he stands up and speaks a word from the Lord to Jehoshaphat and all of Judah. This would be a prophet, okay? Later in the book or in the chapter, he's referred to as a prophet and also a couple chapters later, okay? Verse 15, he says, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Yep, that's darn right. Woo is right. Yeah, that was almost the shout from Jericho. It's close. It's getting there. Okay, and then I want to skip to verse 17 and 19, okay? He goes down. He says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still. Sound familiar? And see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. Verse 18 says, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites and Kohathites, I believe I'm saying that right, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Now, I want to make a quick kind of side note on this, okay? Because prophecy is something that can be, first off, extremely beneficial to the church and to the church body, but it's also something that if you don't understand it or don't know what it is, it can be kind of scary, okay? Because if somebody stands up and says, you're supposed to do this, this, or this, and you don't know what the heck they're talking about, it can be kind of freaky out. So I want to talk about it real quick, because this is a perfect example of when somebody stands up and speaks, says, I have a word from the Lord. That means they're proclaiming, I'm prophesying, or I'm going to give you a prophetic word. The Lord told me to give this to you or tell you this, okay? This is what I want to explain, though, is Jehoshaphat hears it, right? First off, it's said to the whole kingdom. So everyone was there, which is good for the fact that there was community. But on a side note from that is he hears it, and he doesn't just run with it. He doesn't just hear it and run. He hears it, and then he prays, okay? He takes the word in and sits on it, and he prays, and everyone prays with him. And then 2 verses later, it says that he seeks counsel as well. And this is something I'm going to talk about more, actually, at the very end, just real briefly. I just want to say it, though, as we're here, that a prophetic word is amazing, and it can speak life into us. It can speak challenge into us. But it doesn't always mean that we just take it at face value. We need to check it with the word. We need to pray about it and check it. Maybe there's counsel in your life, people in your life that you trust and you have speak into you on that level. And so you want to place that before the Lord before just running with it. Okay, that's what he does here. This is a perfect example of what to do. I love it. It's not a modern day. It's an Old Testament day exact of what to do when a word is given. Okay, so sorry, that was a short side note, or not so short. Verse 20, okay? Jehoshaphat says, this is after he's prayed about it. So he says now, running with the word, hear me, O Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. Okay? That was number two. That was pray. The second thing he did. The last thing he did, number three, is praise. He praised, okay? Well, everyone did, actually. Verses 21 and 22, and this is like the pinnacle of this story, okay? And when he had consulted with the people, there's that consultation, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, ahead of the army, and we're saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Come on. That was it? There you go. Okay, yeah, thank you. Seriously? Three nations coming against you. I don't even know if I could put this into modern-day terms. But like, just think of the three largest nations in our world coming against us, and we were divided. So maybe Canada versus, I don't know. I'm not even gonna try. What? Six-day war. That's good. Good job. So this is amazing, though. Okay, and verses 23 and 24 go on to say that the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir turned on themselves. They turned on themselves. Okay. And destroyed one another, and that the people of Judah, check this out, never even entered the physical battle. They never even got there. They were climbing a hill, singing. They didn't even see it. They walked up on a bunch of dead guys, three whole country worth of dead guys. Okay, yeah, ooh, yeah, have you seen Braveheart? Anyway, consequently, and I think this is funny, consequently, no other nation after that came against Judah while Jehoshaphat reigned. Yeah. Can you imagine? Like, can you imagine the telephone of that one? It's like, did you hear what happened over there? There were lions. So I want to touch on a couple things here, okay? Notice that in both battles, not a finger was lifted with a sword. Both battles, Battle of Jericho and the Battle with Jehoshaphat, with Judah and against the three other nations. They were won completely by faith and obedience. Okay? And this is key right here, okay? The success of their warfare depended on the success of their worship. Okay? The success of their warfare, the battle, depended on the success of their worship. Not how good they could worship. It's not like a good thing. It's where was their heart at? Okay? A few things I want to touch on. What can worship be? Just shout them out. What do you think? What can worship be? Singing? Song? What else? You don't got to raise your hand. Go ahead. Praying? Good. Giving? Good. Good. Read. Okay. Sunday school answer. Jesus. Okay. That's good. Music, prayer, fasting, nature, art. I had Joe over here. Joe must be outside sanding. Part of his art is sanding, so he must be out there sanding right now. I asked Joe to be a part of this, not because, well, I think he's a great artist, but not because I wanted to, like, show off or anything with his art. I just wanted to show a different expression of worship. To Joe, who's, I think, outside, like I said, I think he's outside sanding because that's one of his fun things he does with his art, is this is one way that he worships. Now, you give me a canvas and some paint and a brush, and you're still getting stick figures. I don't know how to do art like that. I do music, but I want to point out that there's different ways, and I've asked Joe to make something today, and I gave him the premise of this message ahead of time, but I asked him to make something this morning, kind of going off of this worship and going ahead of the battle, okay? And we haven't seen it yet, but we'll see it later, okay? So worship is defined in a dictionary as this, as a feeling or expression of reverence and adoration. It's an expression of reverence or adoration, okay? To glorify, to exalt, to thank, to honor, to cherish, okay? And I want to take this a step further, okay? Everyone is in a spiritual battle of some kind. Every single one of us, whether you believe in Jesus or not, no matter what your faith is, no matter what your theology is, everyone is in some kind of a battle. You may not know it. Okay? Amen. Yeah, it's true. All right? And I want to point out two things, okay? If you're only worshiping on Sunday, if this is the only time you're worshiping, you're losing the battle. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it. You're losing the battle. One day a week isn't enough. Okay? That's why I wanted to point out what worship is not just singing songs. That's a piece of it, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. But it's more than that. And for each person, it can be something different. It could be through art. It could be through prayer. It could be through fasting. It could be through giving. It could be Christmas, apparently. That's a good one. Okay? And I want to point out one other thing, and this might sting a little, okay? If you're not in a spiritual battle, if you're not, then you might want to check your spiritual temperature with God. Where do you stand with God? Because if you're not in a spiritual battle, the enemy isn't afraid of you. You got nothing on him. And you're no threat to his kingdom. Okay? That might sting a little. And it doesn't mean that we have to be in this crazy onslaught all the time. That's not what the battle means. It doesn't mean you're always getting bombarded. But if there's nothing challenging in your life, if there's no battle in your life, then you might want to check where your heart is. Because if the enemy's not afraid of you, that means you have nothing to offer at this time. Doesn't mean you don't have anything to offer in the long run, because you do. It just means at this time, you're not fighting the fight. You're not fighting the good fight that Paul talks about. Okay? So, kind of backing up a step, talking about worship again. Worship can be done, as we kind of just talked about, very much alone, okay? But I want to point out the importance of corporate worship, okay? And I want to reference I'm going to reference both of these stories again, okay? Check this out. Notice in both stories that they marched as an army together worshiping God. In Jericho, everyone marched around the city, okay? In Jehoshaphat, with Judah, he sent the singers ahead of the army, but everyone marched, okay? There is power in numbers against the principalities of darkness, okay? The numbers, the corporate worship that we do here, whether it be through music, prayer, tithing, fasting, message, reading, art, fellowship, all of that counts. It's all worship, okay? It's where our heart is. And the power that we have in numbers against the enemy is going to destroy him. He has nothing on us, okay? The weapons we use in warfare are through our worship, okay? We're talking about spiritual warfare. The weapons we use in our spiritual warfare are through our worship, okay? Our stillness, our shouting, our words, our instruments, our singing, our praying, our fasting, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Fill in the blank for what fits you, okay? Worship is supposed to be at the center of everything that we believe, everything that we practice, and everything that we seek to accomplish, okay? Everything we seek to accomplish. Battles are won through worship and faith, okay? To be a worshiping church, for Elevation to be a worshiping church, if we want to really break down the walls of darkness, if we really want to be a church that stands for Jesus and against the enemy, we have to be a warring church. Amen. That darn right. Somebody else needs to say amen. Thank you. Yes, that is an amen. Yes. All right. We will see victory through prayer, praise, and standing in faith. Okay? And I want to point out one more thing on this note, okay? We live in New Testament times. Both these stories that I referenced this morning are Old Testament, okay? We live under New Testament, under the New Covenant, okay? What does that mean? Anyone? Grace, yep. The enemy has already been defeated. Hallelujah. Thank you. Jesus, yes. Hallelujah. Okay? The enemy has already been defeated. Jesus already paid for our sins. There's no condemnation. Okay? There's only victory. We just have to stand in faith and worship. Got it? As we worship him, I put this at the bottom of the lift notes as a little tag, okay? Because I read this. This was from Jack Hayford. And it says, as we worship him, he transforms us and our church, and we become a worshiping, witnessing warriors who fight the battle of the Lord for his glory. I put that at the bottom, right, Teresa? Good. Because I read that and I just thought, that is awesome. That sums it up better than I was thinking good. Okay, five practical things, okay? We're going to close on this. Five practical things. Number one, be intentional. Ask God for his strategy for victory when you face a personal struggle, okay? This is prayer. That simple prayer is asking God, coming to God. Pretty simple. Number two, acknowledge your weaknesses and look to God for direction. Both Jericho did that, or I'm sorry, Joshua did that with the Battle of Jericho, and so did Jehoshaphat going into battle. He acknowledged and even received a word. This is a king receiving a word from somebody else in his kingdom. Let's not even go into monarchy right now because we could be here a while, but that doesn't happen, okay? Number three, trust. Trust the word of God as the living word and ultimate standard of revealed truth. Okay, this is faith, big time, okay? Two last things. Be open. And this is what we were talking about earlier with prophets, prophesying, okay? Be open to receiving prophetic words given by godly men and women, okay? Seek the Lord for confirmation through prayer, test the words with scripture, and submit them to the Lord in prayer. Okay? Don't just take them and be naive and run. That's scary. And don't push them away and say you got nothing. Maybe I don't know you. Maybe I don't trust you. If you don't trust them, that's a good place to start, actually, with prayer. Figure out, should they be trustworthy? But be open to receiving words from men and women in our congregation, even outside of our congregation, okay? And the last one, lead with praise. Let's learn from the faith of the singers going into battle in front of the army and remember how God brought a mighty victory, okay? Lead with praise, whether that's a shout, whether that's being still, whether that is singing out loud. It's all about praise. It's all about that outward expression to who God is. Hallelujah, that's right, okay? So lead with praise. Let's pray, all right? Father God, we just thank you so much, Lord. God, I just want to thank you, Father, for what you're doing here, Lord. I want to thank you for just the word that you placed on my heart last night, Lord. And as I was finishing up putting my thoughts into this, Lord, God, that you really spoke. I felt you spoke to me to even add something, Lord. And I'm so thankful you did, Father. And I'm thankful, Father, that you speak to us, Lord. God, it may not always be audible. It may not be obvious, but God, that you continually speak to us in our times of prayer and in our times of worship and our times of seeking you, Father. God, so I pray that you would just continue to do something mighty in our midst, Lord. God, continue to build our church, to be a worshiping, warring church for you, Father. God, that the enemy would be afraid to be here. God, that not only do we not want them here, God, but that our worship would be so genuine and so sought after you, Father, that the enemy would flee. He has no place here. He has no rule here. He has no stranglehold on anyone here. We break all those chains, Father. Ask you, God, to continue to bless and prosper us, Lord. God, prosper your church, every church, Lord, that is meeting this Sunday morning, Father. I just pray for every church across this country, across this world, Lord, that professes you as Jesus as Lord, Father. God, that you would just continue to build your church, Father. God, that's not our job. Our job isn't to build the church. Our job is to nurture it. Our job is to be a part of praising you and to be a part of worshiping you in everything we do, Father. God, so it's your job to build the church, Lord. God, and you've given us responsibilities to take care of it. God, so we want to be a nation, Lord. I'm not talking about the United States. I'm talking about our church, and I'm talking about our world of believers, Lord. We want to be a nation that worships you wholeheartedly, Father. God, we want to be a people that believe in you, that believe in your overcoming value and power, Lord, that you give to us to overcome every battle, no matter what it is that you have already paid the price, number one. And God, that we can just believe in you and see miracles like what Joshua saw and Jehoshaphat saw. God, see armies fall. 10,000 at our right, 10,000 at our left. And God, that you would reign and be victorious. And it's all for you, Father. It's not for our glory, it's for your glory, Lord. God, just continue to build your church. Continue to put a yearning in our heart, put a yearning in our soul to want to worship you, to follow you, to believe in you. And God, just to wholeheartedly come after you, Father. And we just love you, Lord, in your name. Amen.
For more podcasts and updates, go to weareelevation.com. Also, follow us on Twitter at We Are Elevation and on Facebook, facebook.com/We Are Elevation.